Welcome to MVP Podcast, also known as Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
We're still in 2020.
Yes, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know which one.
Feels like the longest year in existence.
It's the longest and the fastest at the same time.
I feel right? Like totally.
The summer was here and then it was gone. And now it's cold here and it feels like winter didn't even have a chance to say winter is coming. It's just here.
Right, because it's never left.
Yeah.
Here's another episode of MVP, Most Valuable Photography. I'm Clay.
And I'm Devon.
Welcome back, everyone. And today we're going to talk about owning or shooting in your own studio, correct?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about it, one, because I've had some experience with it. And two, I think I find it to be a dream or a goal for a lot of photographers. And I just wanted to talk about some of the positives and negatives of owning your own studio. For those who are seriously looking, just to give them some advice on, you know, what they should be looking for or what they should be looking out for.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you go back, I don't know, one or two podcasts, I spoke about actually having to give up my studio due to COVID-19 and being shut down. And, you know, we talked about where photography was going. So I thought it'd be a good idea to give people some advice on, you know, just my experience, and hopefully my experience could help somebody else out. So I know it's a goal or a dream for a lot of photographers to have their own studio. Mm-hmm. And just kind of run down some of the pluses and the minuses. Should I do the good or the bad first?
You know, this is 2020. Let's go with the good first.
Okay. So the good, from the aspect of having a photography business, it's a good look to have your own studio. I think it legitimizes you. It separates you from the pack. It gives you a home base. It gives you somewhere to grow from, mm-hmm. you know, from like a Google standpoint, and from, you know, just having a foundation to grow from and start to build a clientele with your neighborhood, local businesses, and that sort of thing. It's good to have somewhere that you always have to practice, mm-hmm. and you always have somewhere that you know is always a dedicated space to go work, because some people end up working out of their house or using other locations that may or may not be available to them. So having that security of knowing I have a space that I can use to do my business out of, mm-hmm. or even if it's not your business or if it's your hobby, just to have that space where you can leave things set up, you know, you can kind of build and do the things that you want to do without compromise. So I think from that standpoint, it's good. You know, because here in the Northeast, you know, it's like I said in the beginning, it's getting cold. So we don't have, you know, the luxury of Florida. I mean, you guys have a lot of other things you deal with, but we don't have that luxury of warm weather all year round. So shooting outside by the end of October is going to be, I mean, it's pretty chilly now. You know, we're already getting down into the 50s. So once it hits the 40s, definitely the 30s are kind of out of the question for, mm-hmm. you know, because then you're talking about people's skin tone changing and all that while you're standing out in the cold. So mm-hmm. it's not really a good look to do a lot of things that you may want to do. Mm-hmm. So I think having your own studio from that standpoint, it does work out. Those are kind of the only benefits to having your own studio, to be totally honest with you, is it's really just a place that you know that you'll always have. Mm-hmm. And the legitimacy that comes with having your own business and having a location, you know, a steady location to kind of grow out of. Mm-hmm. Because of the nature of photography now, studios kind of have it rough, you know? So what I find successful studios are doing is they're more of a rental business. You know, so it's two businesses. It's, you know, it'll be a photographer, owner of the studio, mm-hmm. who's using that studio to do their work out of. And then they have a separate business where they're a studio rental company. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, rent the space out when, you know, the home photographer isn't using it.
Right.
Because unless you have steady clients and you have contracts with companies that are using you on a steady basis, mm-hmm. you're probably going to hit a slow time.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you hit those slow times, you still have the bills of the studio. So mm-hmm. that's the drawback, that the studio is always there. You're always maintaining it. You're all, you know, you need to pay the rent. Commercial leases also are very different from residential leases. Mm-hmm. For those that don't know, there is no cap on the rental, on the increases that a landlord can give you in a commercial lease. Mm. So you can go from $100 to $1,000 a month. You know, there's nothing to say the landlord can't do that, because they can charge whatever they feel is fair market value for the place. Yes. So tip number one, read your lease. Have mm-hmm. somebody else smarter than you or a lawyer read your lease. Mm-hmm. Read the lease from top to bottom. Know what you're getting yourself into, because the other thing with commercial leases, they're very hard to break. So if you get into it and you sign a 2-year lease and it's not working after 6 months, the landlord could still require you to pay, you know, the other 18 months of rent. Mm. So it's something to seriously consider when you're entering into a commercial lease and you're going to go rent a studio. My advice would be find a studio space that you could pay with the average price of one of your shoots.
Okay.
I think that's the safest way to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you can't afford a decent place, you know, at that price, then I would say either raise your rates mm-hmm. or go into it as a share and partner with somebody. Mm-hmm. yeah. I was always told that partnerships are the worst ships you can be in. it's kind of tricky to go into a partnership mm-hmm. with, or I see people that do group shares. Mm-hmm. Just know that, you know, in a commercial lease, the landlord can still come after everybody.
Okay.
Even if a few people drop out. So, you know, it's really important that you understand your lease. What I would suggest, if you can't afford it, is you getting a membership or a share with somebody who already has a space, mm-hmm. you know, so maybe, you know, renting from them or subletting from them. I think that's a good move if you don't have the clientele to, maintain the rent, mm-hmm. you know, the commercial rent. 'Cause we all go into it thinking, oh, you know, if I get my own space, you know, if I build it, the attitude of if I build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't account for, like I ran into, it doesn't account for like COVID shutdowns. Mm-hmm. It doesn't account for, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
So, and really, really, really think hard before you get into it. Do I really need this or do I want it? Mm-hmm. You know? And I found that even for myself, I found like it was something that I had always had. So I got comfortable with it. So I always felt like I needed a studio. But after not having it for only a couple of months, I found other ways to shoot, places to rent, shooting outside, which I was never really a big fan of, but ended up getting some really great images that have brought me a lot more business. Mm-hmm. So. Okay. You know, I think when you think of it as a business move, you know, and you have to kind of remove the emotion from it mm-hmm. and really, you know, put pen to paper and think, all right, is this going to be a good move for me business wise? Is it really going to catapult me, or does it make more sense to just, you know, add a studio rental fee into my prices that I already have? And just rent a studio when I need it. Because for me, being able to rent has given me a lot more flexibility where now I'm not locked into one location, you know. So if a client, you know, I have clients that are in New York now, it's like, okay, well, I'll meet you over there,
yeah.
you know. And, you know, I'll just calculate how much it's going to cost for me to go over there. If it's an extra $50 for me to travel to New York to do the shoot, I can do that. And, you know, I can work the rental fee in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, you know, what works for your business model. So I think think of the business model first and then see how the studio works into it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's, I see it like people like, oh, I'm going to get a studio, and then they have it for a year or so. And then, you know, they're not able to maintain it.
Yeah.
And it cuts into your profits, you know? So whereas before, you know, if you were charging, let's say $500 for a shoot, you might have had $50 overhead for that shoot. Mm-hmm. You know, it might have been gas toll, and maybe if you bought some snacks and wear and tear on your equipment, but that's about it. And, you know, so $450 is profit. But, you know, when you're in a studio space, you may be paying $100 a day to be there, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever it is, $75 a day. So, you know, when you're shooting, the amount of your profit that's coming out that is just going into the physical location, it eats up at your profits. So I think you need to look at it from a business standpoint, and it's a numbers game, mm-hmm. you know, and do the numbers and see, okay, if I get a studio, I can make this much. Or if I get a studio, I may be losing this much, and then see which one makes more sense.
True.
You know, the other thing is it's an additional responsibility.
The studio.
You know, you're taking responsibility for a whole nother location. So, you know, you're responsible for when things go wrong. So you're dealing with water leaks, you're dealing with no heat. You know, the AC is busted, you know, you're cleaning the place, you know, and then COVID now we're sanitizing places. So, you know, do you want that additional responsibility of doing that? Or do you like the fact that you can pack up your equipment and somebody else is going to mop the floor, you know, or, you know, if you're not going to do it yourself, you're now paying for a cleaning crew to come in. Mm-hmm. That's an additional expense. So
yeah, you're losing more money there.
Right. So, you know, you have to add everything in. And I think that's one thing we as creatives sometimes do a bad job at. We don't factor in all our costs, and two, we don't really know all our costs or realize all our costs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, not to deter people from getting their own studio. I loved having my own studio, being able to, you know, build sets and have them set up and not have to take them down because somebody else had to use the space. Mm-hmm. Is great. But at the same time, I'm finding I didn't absolutely need it to have a successful photography business. So think of it that way. And when you're looking for a studio, there's a lot of things you need to factor in, because you have to think about it as a business. You know, house parking, house and neighborhood. Is it easily accessible? Are there places around it to get stuff to eat? Mm-hmm. What other kind of businesses are around it that may bring you business? And those are some things that, you know, I didn't consider too heavily with my last studio. I mean, parking was a headache. Mm-hmm. You know, people complained about it every time they came there. It's like, oh, the parking.
Really? And you had to pay for your own parking?
Yeah, you had to pay for parking, and free street parking was hard to find, mm-hmm. you know, because I, you know, where I was, it's like a restaurant area. So a lot of people come there to eat, and people spend a lot of time. So, you know, people are eating, there's small shops. So parking wasn't always open and available. So for my clients, it was, you know, it was a headache. Mm-hmm. It was a headache. And that's something that people consider when they, you know, going to pick you, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, I consider it. I'm like, do I really want to go there? You know, like, for example, I want to go to Adorama on Sundays because parking is free.
Oh.
Right? Parking is free in New York on Sundays. So that's the only time I go to Adorama B&H. Like, I'm only going on Sunday, you know, because I don't want to pay to park. You know, traffic is usually lighter, but those are all the things that I consider. So, you know, Monday through Saturday, I'm going somewhere else. I mean, they're not open on Saturday, but, mm-hmm. you know, Monday through Friday, I'm going somewhere else because it's just not convenient for me.
Right.
You know, and it's really just the parking issue. It's that one thing that will stop me from going to these places. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think about it holistically. Think about it. Think about how much you're shooting and look at how much you're making every month. And then subtract how much you're willing to pay for rent and see if it makes sense realistically, you know?
Yeah, that's one thing people have to be is realistic with themselves and their finances, financial situation.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's numbers, you know, mm-hmm. and that's one thing I like, know your numbers for your business, and that's whatever business you're going into. Know the numbers and know, you know, the cost of doing business. You know, what is it going to cost for you to do this business? And is increasing the cost of you doing business, is it going to bring you more profit? Mm-hmm. Like for some places, you know, opening a brick and mortar location, it's great. Like they, you know, triple their business. But is that going to be true for you as a photographer?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do this, but now I'm going to expand my business where I'm going to, now I'm going to teach out of this facility. Now I'm going to rent it out. So it's a lot of things that you need to plan out to have a successful studio space. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, do you really want to do all that? You know, and after you crunch all those numbers, are you still going to be making the same amount of profit as not having a studio? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're working more, but you're making the same amount. So does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a lot of things to consider and not enter into them lightly, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and just think about, you know, how much space do you actually need? You know, if you're somebody who's used to shooting in their home and then now you go get, you know, a 1500 square foot studio and it's, you know, it's like, okay, but do you really need 1500 square feet? It looks nice. It's beautiful. But, you know, do you really need it? Sure. The other things to consider when, you know, just the things I went through, when you're looking for a studio space, big things to check out: the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have a clean working bathroom? That's a deal breaker for a lot of clients.
Yeah.
And your heating and AC will make a big difference. And look at the general cleanliness of the area that you're in and the actual building that you're going to be moving into. Because, you know, your clients, that's the first thing your clients see when they walk in, is your actual physical location. Mm-hmm. You can have a beautiful location inside, but if outside turns them off, you're going to be fighting that the whole time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the big thing is that you want referrals and you want repeat customers.
True.
So, you know, there's a lot of things to, there's a lot more to consider than like, all right, cool, I'm going to go get a studio and they're all going to come and I'm going to have the successful photography business like I see on YouTube. And yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to, I don't want to say warn, but inform people about, you know.
Yeah, just give them a heads up for what could be coming.
Yeah, I think just making informed decisions and think of it as a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as I'm going into this, you know, I'm doing a photography business. Now I'm doing a studio photography business. You know, you really have to consider it. It's like somebody who has a food truck that's opening up a brick and mortar restaurant now. You mm-hmm. know, it's a whole different animal that yeah. you're going to have to tackle. And, you know, it's a different thing. You know, you may be going into a situation where, you know, you owned your food truck. Now you're renting a location. It's a whole different monster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just think about it from a business standpoint. Think about it from a profitability standpoint, you know, because don't be fooled. There's a lot of businesses out here that are running and they're not making any money.
Yeah.
You know, they're just turning money over. They're like, you know, they have a lot of bills and they're basically borrowing and paying back, and they're not really making any money. So, you know, numbers won't lie to you. Put pen to paper, do the math,
mm-hmm.
add it up, be realistic about how many shoots you do a month, how much you're making a month, and out of how much you're making a month, how much you're currently spending a month, and then add the studio in there and see how much that's going to take away and how much it could bring you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, and be realistically, business isn't going to boom in the first year. It may think about it. It may take you about 3 years to get it, good, you know, yeah. jumping, you know? So
how long have you been with, how long have you had a studio now before you let it go?
Well, I've always had a studio mm-hmm. since 2014.
Oh, okay.
So I've had 3 studios since then. Mm-hmm. And one was, you know, looked good on the outside, was very cheap, but again, had no air condition. Sometimes the heat worked. You know, it was an old factory that they pseudo converted.
Yeah.
You know, to studio space. So, and again, bathrooms weren't the greatest. And then I left there and went to a beautiful new construction business. But again, they did the rent increase after 2 years. But they increased my rent more than 100%.
Oh, wow.
You know, so they went to more than double my rent.
Wow.
So, you know, so I left there and then I went to this current spot and then was looking good. But then COVID hit and I was just like, you know, it wasn't looking good, you know, at the time when I was like, let me let it go, because it wasn't looking really good that we were going to be able to open back up, you know? So it would have been tough because I just really would have been opening back up towards the end of the summer, you know?
And now how long has it been without the studio?
I left the studio in June.
Okay.
So this is my first summer without a studio in a long time. So
basically June. Like by the time, let's say next summer comes around, you will have had experience of sort of 5 different scenarios, because you how many studios you had? You had 4 studios or 3?
Yeah, I had 4. 4.
Four.
Yeah.
4 plus not no studio and the different levels of studio. So like under your belt, you'll have had all this experience and know exactly what each sort of scenario will give you.
Yeah. So, I mean, now I know to kind of look for, well, you know, now I know what I would look for and what I would need, you know? So I think if I ever did enter back into, you know, having my own studio, I would make a wise and informed decision.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I just wanted to, you know, just touch on it because it was something I was thinking about, because I know a lot of people are thinking about it. including you, you know, and it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, it's great, but do it right, you know?
I agree.
So
I kind of like working on the go. It feels kind of good. It feels kind of cool where I could just sort of not have a true home and just set up, you know, say, hey, you know, there's a spot we can go shoot. Like it looks like there's a music hall here. Let's see if we can get it rented. You know, it feels kind of cool being on the go.
Yeah, and I think one of the things is for me, when I rent a place, it kind of puts me on task. You know, when you have your own studio, you kind of let things linger. Mm-hmm. But when you have a spot for 3 hours, 3 hours is 3 hours. Mm-hmm. So you're getting in there, you're working, you're getting it done. And it kind of, for me, it's helped me with my clients because they know, all right, I need to be on time. I don't have all day. You know, so, yeah. I mean, there's pluses and minuses too. But the other thing is, you know, you are under the gun. So you don't know.
How long do you rent a studio for if you do rent one?
Depending on what I'm doing. Well, most studios, I haven't heard any that have a minimum of 2 hours.
Okay.
So the shortest I would rent it is 2 hours and the longest would be the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I would say most shoots I do can be done, in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on makeup, because sometimes makeup can linger. I don't know why, like makeup artists are meticulous. So, you know, it's like whenever a makeup artist says to you, oh yeah, I just have to do, and we're done. Anytime they say, I just have to, you know, it's going to be another 15, 20 minutes. Like it's never like quick and dry. I mean, and some like artists are very efficient. They can knock it out, but I would say the majority of them, it's a process. Love them. It's a process. Yeah. You know, I love the results and I love that how the images come out afterwards, but it's a process, you know, that can be time consuming and it can eat up, you know, it can eat up your rental time because it's time really where I'm just, you know, I'm set up and I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's cool. When you're doing a shoot with a makeup artist, the makeup artist is with you the whole time.
Sometimes, most times they do hang out because they want to see and, adjust any makeup that may be
done. But sometimes they just go.
Sometimes if they're, you know, if they're super busy, they'll just do the makeup and they'll leave.
Okay.
And I guess it depends on the length of the shoot too. You know, if it's a longer shoot, they may do one look and then do another look and then they'll hang out for a little bit and then go. It depends on their schedule. But most, I would say the majority of them like to hang out and see the results.
And if you're going to shoot in New York or whatever, you find someone who's in New York to come there, or someone comes with you from New Jersey?
Well, luckily I know people in New York too.
Okay.
So, you know, I have makeup artists that I could use in New York and New Jersey. So I kind of lucked out in that standpoint. Oh, just one other thing I wanted to touch on. Be a good person and it'll make your photography journey easier, because the spots that I'm able to shoot in and that were offered to me, I really feel is because I treated people well. And when they knew I didn't have a studio, they called on me and said, hey, you can use this spot. So I would say being a good person pays off. It may not pay off initially, and it may not pay off in the people you are good to, but people see what you're doing. And, you know, I truly believe that's the only reason I'm in the position that I'm in, and that I was able to bounce back from, you know, having to give up my studio. It's through your network. And yeah, I think it's just through your network. And it's not always, you know, it doesn't always have to be about business. Sometimes it's just the way you treat people. It's just returning a text message, answering a phone call, you know, checking on somebody, and people look out for you.
Yeah. That's actually great advice. That's a lot of people should actually write that down and sort of pray on it at the end of the night.
Yeah, meditate on it. It's just, I think there's, you know, because I think we live in a generation now where it's very much about chasing the bag, and we respect people for making a lot of money, but they don't have to be good people.
Right.
You know, if you make a lot of money, then you're kind of, you know, you no longer have to be a good person, you know? So, you know, we give them a pass. Like, all these people are awful people, but they make a lot of money and people envy them.
Right.
But I really think on the real level, on the real world level, on the day-to-day level, being a good person, treating people well, really pays dividends. And, you know, it's kind of like the good you put out, I really feel like you get it back twice, you know? So, yeah, be a good person, and maybe it'll help you get a studio.
Sweet. That's great advice. That's actually a great topping to the cake.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you.
That's awesome. Yeah, no problem. This is official bundle up season, but it's,
for you guys.
Yeah, the days are getting shorter, so it's good contrasty lighting for street photography. So I think I'll be doing some of that
soon. I need to do more of that, but it's kind of hot out here.
No need to brag.
No, it's not hot. It's extremely hot, and you can walk outside with nothing on.
No, it's bragging. Crazy. Yeah, I went out this morning. I was like, oh my goodness, it's like legit fall.
Wow.
So yeah, but hey, good for shooting.
Yes, definitely good for shooting. Alrighty, shall we wrap up and hand this out to the people? Hopefully you listeners can reach out to us. You know, we'd love to engage.
Yes.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Devon Warren Photo on all social media. That's DevonWarren FOTO.
Cool. And I'm CW Daily everywhere. So yes, listen to us in the next episode. We'll catch you later. Ciao.
Yeah, the good guys.
The good guys.
Ciao.
Ciao.